host, Iffy Wideaway, and sitting across from me, as always, is
Danny Fernandez.
Hey.
What's up, Iffy?
Not much, you know, reeling, you know, at this point. You know, me and you have seen the events in Endgame. Chris, you haven't gotten to see it yet, right?
But he will by the time this drops.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
So it was great, I'm sure.
Love that. And we're not going to talk about it because Iffy and I are doing a spoiler episode that you can listen to.
Yeah. It'll come out later in this week. So to get your hand off that pause button, because I know you got afraid of spoilers and you hit the pause. Or you might have seen it by now and you're like, give it to me. Well, wait till Thursday.
Oh, Iffy, can I say something real quickly before?
Of course.
Yeah. So you and I had this private conversation, which I'm making public now, but so some of the, because press normally gets to see it, if you're wondering why, I don't know, I think everyone kind of assumed that, but sometimes randomly still I'll get people like, how did you get to see it early? Press and industry normally get to see it early, and some of our colleagues were tweeting jokes from the film,
yeah,
just to, I think, flex that they got to see it. And I don't understand that. And I also think their credentials should be taken away and they should be allowed to go. But it's such a weird, gross flex. Like, everyone knows you got to see it. Like, don't write jokes or talk. Like, it's just weird. I don't like it. It made me feel weird.
Yeah. I always think it's such a, especially, you know, having seen it, there's so much stuff I want people to be surprised by. I wouldn't even begin to imagine doing some insider jokes and all that, because we know it's going to happen. We know there's that we're in that age of the internet where once everybody has seen it, we're going to go crazy with the memes, just like we did with Infinity War. It's going to be fun. Everyone's going to have a good time. So why are you thinking you're going to get around to it first and risk ruining it?
I don't know.
I don't see it. But, you know, some people just gotta ruin things. That's why we can't have nice things.
We are not alone today. We are joined by a good friend of ours. He is a host. You've seen him on BuzzFeed, also NBC, also Nerdist recently. That is our friend Chris Lamb.
Hey.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming on. Yeah. No, I used to see Chris quite a bit when I was working at BuzzFeed. They had his video in heavy rotation. So I remember I took a picture once. I was like, hey, it's you. So
it's my claim to fame. It's the lobby.
Yeah.
Of BuzzFeed. Know,
look, the lobby and millions of computer screens. Don't sell yourself short. You know. How you been? How's that? What are you geeking out about this week?
Well, I'm geeking about the articles that have been circulating, the fact that Marvel is looking for a gay/bi/queer Asian guy for the Eternals. I'm just really happy about it.
Trying to audition?
I heard from... So, funny story about that. On Facebook, like, you know, I run plenty of circles, including Gaysian ones, and several people do know that I'm in entertainment, and several people did tag me. But the thing is that people just tag me without reading the article, because the article actually doesn't have any points of contact. You know, it, of course, it wouldn't, right? It's Marvel.
Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of everybody's like, oh my God, you should audition for this. I'm like, it doesn't say anything on the article, just saying that, you know, people are being auditioned for it. And I heard from the grapevine that they already casted.
Okay, yeah, I think I did too. But I feel like, Chris, this is just, I feel like you have enough sway. Like, if you tweeted at Marvel and be like, hey, I'd love to be considered, I feel you could get your followers behind you.
Yeah.
And they would be like, you know, because it's not just, you're not just asking for, you know, you're not asking for the role, you're asking to just be, have the opportunity to audition. And plus, because you are an entertainer, you're not just like a random person off the street.
Right. Yeah. I was toying with the idea. I'll do it.
In the future, though, like, even if they have cast it, hopefully that's not the only one, you know, in the superhero franchises. Yeah. So, yeah, it's exciting that they're doing that for Eternals.
Yeah, I'm just super excited because this is going to be, like, you know, the first gay Asian representation, I guess, on Marvel movies, which is really cool. You know, it's definitely something that I've been asking for a while, just because I get kind of tired of listening to straight Asian men talk about how difficult their lives are, especially when they're hot. They're like, oh, people don't think that we're sexy. And I'm like, yeah. And meanwhile, like, all of the LGBT and women in the room are like, yeah, mm-hmm. Tell us how hard it is.
I wanted them, and I think that they probably eventually will have America Chavez, who's a queer Latinx character. But I do believe that we're getting one over at DC which I can't quite talk about yet because I think it might spoil some stuff, but I think that there might be one over there as well.
Oh, right, right, right. I think I remember
totally
hearing about this too.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, I'm glad that they're embracing that. I would say that sometimes their fan base doesn't always appreciate or mm-hmm. want that. And so I'm glad that they're like, well, we're doing it anyways.
Yeah.
As they should.
I'm just more concerned about actually about all of the straight Asian men that are complaining about this. Because I've actually seen, I actually shared this on my Facebook. I'm not sure
if you saw that.
Yeah, like, both men and women alike were like, oh, like, does it really have to be a gay Asian guy? Because, like, this is going to, like, ruin this, feed into the stereotype that Asian people are effeminate. And I'm like, so you're using a white mindset that has been used to, like, keep us out of Hollywood to tell me, people like me, that I'm ruining things for the community.
Yeah, you exist. Like you exist in your, you deserve to have a superhero. It's such a weird mentality to be like, we don't want to see this.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the same way that I think a lot of movements are, where it's like, they want, there's not a lot of intersectionality, and
yes,
you know, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, you know, it's the same way, you know, like in the women's movement, where like, it was white women being like, okay, black women, like, we'll handle it. Mm-hmm. You guys be quiet.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times queer people and women of color are left out of the conversation, like, as far as, yeah, what you were saying, intersectionality. And so, and also, like, here on this podcast, I feel like we try to just remind people that it's not the same for all of us. Like you were saying, there hasn't ever been a queer Asian character that we've seen on in superhero form on the big screen that I can think of.
I can't think of them.
Yeah, I feel you. I think you should still audition.
We got to make it happen.
I'll tweet them.
Iffy, what are you geeking about this week?
I mean, you know what it is. It's Endgame.
You can't talk about that on
I know we can't talk about it, but this is just going to be me plugging the bonus episode we're dropping this week.
There you go.
Because that's all my energy can take. I'm trying to think of anything else exciting has happened. I mean, you know, getting ready for, you know, Borderlands 3, E3's coming around the corner. I got my badge. But all that's on the brain is the Endgame. Endgame on the brain.
If he is hardcore plugging our Endgame episode, that will come out shortly. My thing, I guess, that I'm geeking out about is I produced a piece called The Impact of Black Panther for Nerdist. That was this past summer. Yeah, this past summer. It was like in May. If he is in it, we interviewed several black filmmakers and actors and writers, and it actually won an Emmy. And that's really cool because a bunch of my friends were in it. It was directed by Princess Films, who's an awesome director. Now I believe she's in the Disney program. I think that they might have also seen this because it was so great. It was just this great piece talking about the influence of it. We had if he was in it, Joelle Monique, who has been on here, was on it. Who else? Michael Jai White, who's Spawn, was on it. He had his whole family and his girls. He has two young girls, and they were talking about, he was talking about how he can, you know, kind of pass on this fandom to them. So many people were in it, and it was just awesome. And it's great that we won a Webby. Anyways, that's what I've never been to the Webbies before. Jenny Slate is hosting.
Oh, dope.
Mm-hmm.
Dope. I'm not going to say anything.
Okay. Today we brought on Chris because he is such a huge fan of My Hero Academia or Boku no Hero. And I mean, literally, like, I think you're the person I think of as like the bit, you and our friend Cheyenne,
yes,
I think are like the biggest My Hero fans. But this is something that Iffy and I have also latched onto as well. It's such a great anime.
It's so good.
When did you first, I mean, did you start watching it right when it came out?
No, so I started watching it, I think around the middle of season two, I think, while season two was running, just because I think I usually never watch an anime when it first comes out, unless it's like Sailor Moon Crystal or Cardcaptor Sakura.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, oh, is it going to be any good? Like, I don't want to latch on to something if it might get canceled or something, or if it's not good.
What about the anime that has like one season and then you're like, what happened?
I don't know.
What is going on? I mean, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes at the animation studios. That's what I hear. Like even with some of the bigger series, like they'll have animators cycling out like a lot, and it's just that's sometimes what happens over there.
Right,
I just
exactly.
love when it tells the story and it's done. Like Tengatop and Gurren Lagann, they got their two seasons. They're like, this is the story we're telling, peace. And like, cool, I don't have to follow for the rest of my life
my
like
God.
Inuyasha or
One Piece.
Which
or
has
Naruto.
Been running since 1996.
God.
That's how long One Piece has been.
That is, it's still wild to me. Like I went to Japan recently and like they still had like, you know, a One Piece children's area like in Tokyo Tower. Like it was wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you hopped on. So did you watch season – did you start with season one or did you say that you went into season two?
So it was while season two was running, but one of my friends who is also a super fan that I actually met in San Diego, we were hanging out. It was a Tinder date that didn't lead anywhere.
Okay.
But what did come out of it was he made me sit down and watch the first three episodes of Boku no Hero.
Love it.
I think it was just because – it was like still a date and stuff, and so I was still like kind of like not completely there watching.
Of course
it.
Not.
but like so there were like maybe a few weeks where I was like I didn't really feel the need to continue watching it, but I finally found time to sit down and watch the rest of it, and yeah, I can definitely say that it's probably one of the best shonen anime like to come out.
Very on brand for me, Iffy, is I had a writer that you know that I was kind of seeing, and the first time he came over, I had The Twilight Zone on. he kind of made a joke about like, oh, we should watch DBZ. I'm like, there's absolutely no way that I'm going to hook up with you watching DBZ. Like, that's just too much for
testosterone.
Me.
A lot of
no, I'm like, that's just too on brand. Like, I couldn't handle it. I can't do that. That would make me feel sad. It would be the opposite.
Right.
But now I just introduced men to like old episodes of The Twilight Zone. Okay, so My Hero Academia actually first came out. It began as a serialized manga and weekly shonen jump that started in July 2014. Now, I seem to be very attracted. Like all of my favorite anime is shonen. Do you feel that way, or like, why do you think sometimes I feel like it gets a bad rap? Why do you feel that way?
Well,
because it's like kid, it's seen as like little kid.
No, I don't think that at all. Because you know, previous shonen anime that have come before it, like Bleach and Naruto, I don't feel like they were kid shows at all. Like, you know,
oh, we should preface so people that don't know shonen mm-hmm. is essentially like for young boys, is
right?
That,
shonen just means boy,
yeah, so. So, like, DBZ, One Piece, My Hero Academia, like, yeah, those are all...
Naruto, Bleach, One Piece.
Yeah,
so I definitely don't feel like they're kids necessarily, because, like, they're pretty bloody.
Totally.
And also, you know, there's definitely, like, some body horror that Japan loves doing. I feel like, actually, the reason why everybody's latching onto Boku no Hero, especially people like me who, like, kind of... was disillusioned by Naruto and Bleach to a degree. I actually watched like a few YouTube videos in preparation for this talking about like how the anime's kind of declined in popularity. I think it Boku no Hero addresses the issue of the power creep. It addresses the typical shonen formula of like, okay, so we have this super, you know, determined but kind of like off, you know, like off the beaten path dude. And he's able to, like, use his macho-ness to be able to, like, you know, to kill the first thing. And then the more powerful thing comes, and then it's stronger than him. And then he trains for, like, you know, 2 days because he's, you know, he has a lot of potential. You know, he trains in 2 days what normally people have to train for 100 years. And then he wins, and then more powerful person comes. He gets even more power. The main character gets even more powerful. More powerful guy comes in. Main character has another training montage. He gets more powerful. He wins, and then it just goes on until it loses popularity. That's kind of how I feel the formula is. And Boku no Hero beautifully addresses that because our main character, well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but our main character, like, it's very clear that the power he attains is way too strong for his own body. And so, like, it's kind of this internal, not internal, but, like, it's there's a very clear path of progression in a way of where, like, he's harnessing the power that he can right now, and he's doing his best to, like, not destroy his body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's just hop right into Deku, the main character, which is, I mean, him and All Might have such a beautiful relationship, but how would you describe Izuku?
I would describe Izuku as, he's kind of like this new form of an everyman that I think is just a little bit more relatable, and also, thankfully, you know, he's not a meat sack like a harem anime is.
What's wrong with meat sacks?
That's true. Meat sacks can be useful sometimes, you know, like, yeah.
But he's like, so he's high school age.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he's high school age, and like, he's, I really like his character because he's basically like a comic book nerd in a world where superheroes from those comic books are actually real. You know, he's basically like an All Might otaku. Like, you know, he has a notebook that where, like, he references all the time, like, of every, like, major superhero that's like, working right now. And, you know, he has, like, every All Might action figure in his room. You know, he watches, like, YouTube videos of All Might all the time. And he's also, like, yeah, he's just super nerdy. Like, he mumbles to himself. He gets really nervous around girls, which is, I'm sure, is very relatable for a lot of young men. I think what I find compelling about his journey is the fact that he slowly realizes that, oh, like, this power is for me to shape and for me to decide how to use. And I'm learning from what All Might teaches me, but I'm forming my own identity as opposed to, you know, before where I just wanted to be him.
Yeah. I was going to say, he kind of reminds me, not to compare him to our comics, but Peter Parker a lot, yeah. Because Peter Parker he has comics, he idolizes superheroes, and then he gets to be a superhero. So, and you know, yeah, I feel like they're definitely similar.
Yeah, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because the creator of the manga, he actually cited in 2018's Comic-Con that Spider-Man is his favorite superhero.
Yeah, so that must have influenced it.
Totally. Well,
just to give people who kind of have no clue about My Hero Academia or Boku no Hero, which is another one of those anime things where people argue about the way you pronounce the title. And it's like, you don't say the X and
either.
Hunter, X Hunter, and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, My Hero Academia is about a world where superheroes are common, and so common that they have schools for them. And everyone is born with a quirk. Some quirks are better than others. And in this story, what makes it unique is Midoriya, or Izuku, he is born without a quirk, which makes him the oddball out. In a world of countless superpowers, he has none. And like you were saying, he's this huge otaku. He wants to be one more than anything. So his world is kind of crushed when he figures out that he won't be a superhero. And he's like, it starts right before everyone kind of transfers to the superhero school. And he has no powers. He has a bully who has fists that blow up. And he's kind of teased for it. But he's in it, I think, to once again go back to comics, he's kind of like Steve Rogers in the sense of like, well, where Hector was saying last episode, that big moment of him jumping in the bomb, there's a big bad guy situation where Izuku, or Deku, as we'll know him as, runs towards and gets his butt kicked eventually, but it catches the eye of All Might, who then reveals that his quirk or superpower is the ability to pass on his quirk, and it changes everything. And that
cry. Yes, that made me cry too. I will admit, though, it is a little bit convenient.
Yeah.
I admit that.
but most things in superhero world are.
Right. And also, like, I do think that they do a good job, like, mixing it into the world where, like, yeah, like, they're actually used to exist this power where, like, you could give people a quirk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's I think one of the things, and that's why I kind of gravitate towards a shonen anime a lot, is because it's the same thing that kind of has started my love, which was DBZ,
right?
Which is the idea. I feel like you don't get that as much in American media. I think the power creep is commonplace and never addressed in the sense of like, you're strong, and then if you get beat up by an enemy, you just have to think about somebody you love, and then you get stronger.
Right. Like, I remember in Bleach, like, I remember rolling my eyes literally at the storyline where it's like the last season they've said to the character, if you do this, if you unleash this power, you will never be able to do anything ever again. Like, you will not be able to see ghosts, like, you will have no powers. But then, like, the next season is like, oh, if you just shoot like a few millimeters away from your heart and it doesn't kill you, then like it'll reawaken your powers. I'm like, but you just anyway, yeah.
But yeah, it's the same thing of like, you know, Blade who gets like beat up and then he gets thrown into the pool of blood and now he's back and
right, right. Right.
Like there's that, whereas like a lot of shonen anime, it's like, no, you train, you work hard, you get stronger. And I think that's what I liked about My Hero that really kind of clutched into me was this idea of like, oh, everyone said this was impossible. And for all intents and purposes, it is. But with the right opportunity and the gumption, you're able to make your dreams come true. And I was like, that is the type of info I do want instilled in kids, where it's like opportunity changes everything.
Totally.
And if you come ready for it, you can make anything happen. And you'll
oh, yeah, it's just like that scene in La La Land where she just so happens to be a casting director there in her little sketch show.
Man,
just so happened to be there and it changed her life.
I love La La Land, but I can see why a lot of people were very annoyed by it, because if you're in this soul-crushing industry, look at this move where someone just, you're just at the right place.
She
at
went
the
to
right
the little
time.
Play
right,
that
very,
nobody would know
yeah,
about. Just very, so happens this huge person.
It's very old Hollywood, but like it,
I know.
But it does carry into, it does kind of carry into Boku no Hero, where like All Might's literally like, I like your chutzpah, kid.
Yeah.
Truly. It reminds me of
got spunk.
Reminds
got spunk.
Me a little bit of Sky High. You remember that
oh
film?
My
I
gosh,
mean,
of
totally
course
does.
I do. Yeah.
Which was a school of teenage superheroes. So I've made that comparison. That's probably the only thing it has in common. But yeah, so let's talk about All Might, because we've said his name quite a bit.
Yes.
So what should people know about All Might?
So I think All Might is basically like the Superman of this world. You know, he's like the classic superhero. Like even his color palette is like very American. Like he actually has the same color palette as Miss Marvel, as Captain Marvel, I would say.
Yeah.
Black, red, and yellow, and it's extremely clear that the creator made this character, kind of acknowledging like this American industry of Western superheroes, because he has moves called like, you know, that
Detroit
are named
Smash.
Right, Detroit Smash in Texas,
right,
and. And, like, also, like, All Might breaks into English sometimes, which I think is so funny.
He's so American. Like, okay, so if you can envision if Captain America, like, got injected with steroids and was just a
right.
little bit bigger. Yeah, it is hilarious to me because I thought it was kind of poking fun. Not poking fun, but
I think
it's
it is
a
little bit.
Poking fun at our superheroes.
Yeah.
And they dressed it in, like, American colors. And it's, like, stereotypical big puff blonde superhero.
Right, exactly. Like,
yeah.
Like I would love for him to have like more moves named after American shit, like Hickory Smoke Kick, like just something like that. That'd be really funny. But so basically, yeah, All Might, he's like, you know, the superhero. Like he's ranked, apparently there's a ranking system in this world, and he's ranked number one, easily ranked number one by far. And yeah, he meets Deku, he saves him from the situation, and as he saves him, Deku like latches onto him and is like, can someone with no quirk be a hero? And he's like, I don't know about that. And then but the thing is that because he wasn't expecting for Deku to like talk to him, he ends up like poofing back into his actual form. And his actual form is like this really real lanky, real sticky guy. He has like super angular features, like super
yeah.
emaciated looking. And All Might's
like skinny as
right,
hell.
Right. And All Might's basically like, oh crap, you know my secret. Please don't tell anybody. And he shows him like this really horrible scar that he has like on his abdomen. He's basically saying, like, yeah, I sustained this injury, and you know, I it really weakened me. You know, I had to do a lot of surgery. I had to like, you know, it permanently damaged me. And so now I can only hold like my muscle form for 3 hours. And nobody except like his close confidants, like, you know, in the hero world and in the police force know about this secret.
I did want to go over All Might because we talked about Detroit Smash, but he has, so the Texas one you were talking about is Texas Smash, Missouri Smash, Carolina
okay,
Smash,
so they're all named Smash.
New Hampshire Smash. I'm surprised that like as much as we watch this, we haven't like picked up, like, I mean, I paid attention. The Detroit Smash one and the other one I know is United States of Smash.
Right.
And Oklahoma Smash. So it really is a commentary on our country, which is it's just probably paying homage in like in some way, yeah, to iconic like Marvel DC superheroes.
Right.
So his power one for all. Can you explain to people what that quirk is?
Yeah. So he explains his power one for all is basically as this power that can be passed down from generation to generation by a chosen disciple, I guess, of the current holder of the power one for all. And it basically just grants you, you know, like super strength, like an amazing type of super strength, probably, you know, even better super strength than Mr. Incredible, I would say. By far, yeah, I think he could easily defeat Mr. Incredible. And yeah, like you could like level buildings with that power. Like, you know, it gives you super speed. Like it just it's power that just courses through you, basically. It's all like very physical attacks though. So like it's not like you can shoot the energy out of your eyes or anything like that. And it can be passed down with the consent of the holder of the power and by ingesting that person, the whole current holder's DNA, basically.
That sounds suspicious. Can you just elaborate on that?
I didn't think
for people.
What are you talking about, Danny? I would say so. Basically, All Might says to Deku, like, "All right, like if you can do this certain task of like cleaning up this beach, very environmentally friendly. If you can help me clean up this beach with your own strength, I'll let you eat my hair."
Gotcha.
I'll let you eat a strand of my hair.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it's passed on to him.
Right. Yeah. The thing is that I don't know. I'm going to not say anything because I think
Great.
That might be spoilers.
You know, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to jump back into My Hero Academia right after this. And we're back. So, Chris, there's a lot of characters in this series.
There is a lot.
Because there's a lot of bad guys and good guys. And so...
Typical shonen.
Yeah, yeah. So, and of course, like, all of his classmates. Who are some of your favorites? We'll just say some of the big characters and what their quirks are.
Sure. So, let's see. I would say that the first hero that I would say that comes to mind would be Momo. I really like her power because she has the power of creation. And it's not... you know, an OP thing. She uses lipids in her bodies to, like, form whatever type of material she wants. And so it's not, like, immediately combat heavy, but it's, like, it requires a lot of intellect, and it can also, it just offers a lot of utility outside of combat. So she can make, like, anything she wants as long as she knows, like, what the molecular, like, shape it is. So what I like about her is she's very kind. She has, like, and she struggles with like an inferiority complex in the beginning, which I really relate to. And she gets over the inferiority complex on 2 or 3, I think. So what I like about her also is the fact that she has like a book instead of like, you know, a typical weapon. She has a book. So like if there's something that she doesn't know how to make, she just pulls out the book and is like, okay, like I need to look up how do you make like, you know, heat resistant blanket. I need to look at how you make a subwoofer. Like she can make anything that she wants as long as it's not a person.
She can kill you with knowledge.
Yeah. I like her. I mean, I think this is very common for everyone to say, but I also like Bakugo. It was very difficult for me to latch onto him it wasn't as easy for me as other people to latch onto him, but especially after the end of season 3, I really understood his character more and I really relate to him. And I also think, I also interpret his character as like this representation of like toxic masculinity, actually, because he's so aggro all the time. And his powers,
I was going to say, to me, he's like an anti-hero.
Totally.
Yeah.
But
like on the hero team, but as they typically are. But
right.
Yeah.
Like he kind of represents like the typical macho shonen guy, like cranked up to like 20 on a scale of 1 to 10. And his powers are basically like I think it's something about like he can use the sweat on, like he has like this explosive sweat gland and he can detonate it whenever he wants. Yeah.
Terrifying. Don't sweat. Hey, that's why I have a thyroid disorder. I don't sweat very well.
Can you imagine having that quirk and having a thyroid disorder? Also, I would say I really like Tsu-chan, I believe. That's her name. That's like her... I'm saying Chan because that's how everybody refers to her now. But Tsuyu Asui. She is just a really cute frog girl. Like she just has a lot of characters.
So cute.
Yeah, and she's like super level-headed, really, really smart. And yeah, she's just a really good person and she's super capable.
Yeah. Iffy, what about you? What are some of the characters that you
like that I'm vibe with?
Yeah.
I definitely love Deku, but also I love Bakugo as well, because it's just, once again, like you were saying, you have that Naruto Sasuke kind of rivalry, and you just see it from the beginning when Bakugo is so mean to him, but he's just like, come on, man, you know? And like, I remember, like, I think I tweeted it when I first started watching My Hero. It was like, I just need Deku to just wipe the floor with this loser guy. And they're like, well, just keep watching. And I was like, oh, they're going to make them friends, aren't they? Just like they do, you know?
Right. And I remember thinking about their relationship, and I really think that a lot of Bakugo's confidence is actually based on demeaning Deku.
Yeah.
And so I definitely was fascinated with this struggle that it was very, very subtle, which I actually really appreciate for a shonen anime, where you could see him becoming more and more insecure because he realizes that he might not be able to bully him anymore.
Yeah.
Because I think it's this very typical man thing, I'm sure, where it's like, oh, well, as long as I know that I'm better than this person, I can be confident in myself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no matter how bad I get, I know that I'm better than him.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe to people Mineta? I think I said that in a very Spanish way.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, Mineta. Oh, when did they get this Latinx character in the show?
Oh my god, the grape boy. He is
Mineta.
Yes. He is male anime trash. Yeah, he's like,
why would you say such a thing?
Because he wants to molest girls like all the time.
Oh yeah, he's like the Master Roshi.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Danny. Do you like him as a character?
I like, I guess I just like his cosplay. Like whenever cosplaying. Because he just looks like a bunch of grapes. He looks like a Fruit of the Loom.
Right, right.
And his super moves are like Grape Rush and Grape Buckler, which doesn't sound good.
Totally.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, if you could explain this person.
Yeah, so he's like this super short, stubby dude. He has like these balls that come out of his head. And they're like super, super adhesive. There is a limit to his power, though. That's another thing that I like about the anime, is that everybody has a limit to their power. The balls always grow back, but if he throws too many, like, he starts bleeding from the head. But yeah, they're super adhesive. They're really good for, like, you know, capturing people and stuff, or like, you know, yeah, just incapacitating somebody. And he really, really is pervy. He's super pervy.
Oh. Yeah, that's true.
Danny just likes the grape guy.
Like, his entire goal is just see women naked all the time.
That's the other thing that always comes with shonen. There's always the super horny character. It's like, we gotta get a horny guy.
Gotta look at the hot springs.
I know. That's why I like Tenchi Muyo, because they like flipped it on its head, where it's like, oh no, it's these women who are horny for this samurai guy.
I love Tenchi Muyo so much, but I'm afraid if I went back and looked at it, I'd be like, oh no.
just keep it in the mims.
There we go. I haven't gone back and looked at it. Todoroki.
Oh my god. Okay, so Todoroki, I mean, he's basically Zuko. I'm just kidding. So he does have one side of his face burned, and it is also because of his father. He's really cool.
Is he Luke Skywalker? No, I'm just...
Honestly, who knows? Might be.
Might be influenced.
Right. So Todoroki, he has powers over both ice and fire. And both, like, one side is ice, one side is fire. And it's because his parents are, you know, one has fire and the other has ice. And I found his story so fascinating, and I really liked it, because in this world where, you know, there are quirks and they can be passed down to your children, it makes total sense, right? There would be, like, this dark undertone to, like, especially rich, privileged families would, like, set up, like, two powerful people to marry each other, so that way they create a powerful kid with combined powers, you know? You know, very feudalistic. And he has, like, this horrible relationship with his father. Like, I think his father's abusive. I think I can just say that, right? He has a pretty abusive father. He abused his mom, and he's like, you know, the cool, hot character in the bunch, I guess. Yeah.
I think that it's really fascinating that they allow that conversation to happen for, you know, a quote unquote like kids show, mm-hmm. even though obviously we don't consider it. But I think a lot of anime here, like when it was shown on Toonami and stuff, that parents normally would consider it kids, that they're having that conversation, because that is a real life thing that happens for a lot of kids. Like, maybe not in their nuclear family, but in, you know, maybe their friends, they have friends that have divorced parents, or their parents have been, you know, have dealt with abuse in the home or dealt with, you know, so it's interesting that they're allowing that conversation. Same with, you know, the stuff that Deku has gone through. I feel like it was that first episode where he's like bawling in front of his computer screen and his mom is there and he's just like, I'm sorry that I can't be.
Oh, that was heartbreaking.
But it's just like, wow, this is so, because I do feel like, I remember, well, now, but even when I was younger, like, it's just you blame yourself for your shortcomings, you know? And so, and I feel like it's such a tricky time, like middle school was ass. I don't know if I'm going to get blamed.
No, it was
middle school is such a weird, like, now that he's, now they're in high school, but like middle school is such a, I think in that scene he was younger. He was like elementary school, middle school or whatever. But like middle school to me is so, such a fascinating time that I feel like more media should focus on, because you're not a kid, like you're not quite a kid anymore. You're not in elementary school, but you're not quite a teen yet. And you're like in this awful, awful time where you're struggling with your identity. And so in high school, it's really fascinating to me that they have that with Deku, where he's struggling with his identity of wanting to be a superhero. And then once he gets his powers, like still struggling with that, but also struggling with what it means to be. Maybe that's why I like shonen. So much of shonen that takes place in high school is they're not only struggling with their powers and that identity of where they fit in the world and their purpose, and like not using their powers selfishly, but also using it to help the world. But they're struggling for where they are as people. You know?
Yeah. Like I definitely feel like this show specifically is always asking the question, like, what does it actually mean to be a hero?
Yeah.
Like, it's, especially, you know, in an age where, like, it's kind of been commodified, you know, like, there's an entire industry around being a hero.
Right. Yeah, they have, like, battles and everyone watches, and it's just, like, yeah, it's kind of, it's almost, it feels like Hunger Games-y, like, to me. But, yeah, I like that conversation that they're having of, once it is marketed and branded, what does it mean to be a superhero? Like, what are you actually doing with your powers to help the world?
Yeah, and because of that, I actually kind of think that the show is almost kind of in conversation with One Punch Man in a way. Because One Punch Man is kind of a response to past shonen as well.
Yeah. I love that One Punch Man makes fun of the trope. Totally. It's like such a comedic take. If we'll have to do an episode on that as well. But yeah, it also looks at like how commodified superheroism can be.
That's one thing I really do like about One Punch Man, is because not only does it make fun of anime, but it also just makes fun of the concept of superheroes and what that is like, and it is so funny that they came out so close together, because they share a lot of similar themes, like the ranking of superheroes and what that means and the effects of those type of things.
Right, and also like in a world where superheroes are common, like of course they're going to be like douchey superheroes that are like, I'm awesome.
Oh yeah, and it's funny because, you know, I see Deku in One Punch Man, but not as a central character, but as Kamen Rider. Like, that is Deku. He is the, and if you don't watch One Punch Man, there's a character who is like, I think he's like C-class, trying to make it to B.
Yeah, he's C-class.
But he has no powers. He just rides a bike. but like, he just wants to be a hero. And like, that was a scene that got me, was there's an episode where like, they have to have this last stand against this like gigantic sea king, and it's like Kamu Rider, and he's like won't go down, and like stuff like that, like just the concept, because I think it's just so prevalent and important nowadays of just not backing down and not giving up. So whenever you see that, anime does such a good job of just showing that, of just like what it really looks like to stand up in the face of everything being against you and going at it. And he was able to hold him off until Saitama got there, and it really was a beautiful moment. And yeah, we'll talk about that more on that episode. But like, one thing I liked about that is their color schemes are the same. They have the same attitude towards it. So, you know, I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but Kamen Rider and Deku are very similar.
Right.
And that's like such a cool thing.
We have to take another quick break. We'll jump back into some more of our favorite characters and some of our favorite quotes from Boku no Hero. And we're back. So we're still going to go over some more of these characters because there's a huge roster. So not going to tackle every single character ever.
That's a lot.
But who are some more of your favorite ones that you've seen the fandom really latch onto?
The other people that the fandom latch onto. Well, there's definitely Uraraka, who is known for her zero gravity powers. There is Ida, who is like the class representative. He's like the super stuck up one, but he's also like super earnest, which I like. He has engines on his calves.
I know, it's such. Yeah. I love like. However, who is the creator again for Boku no Hero?
The creator's name is Kohei Hirokoshi.
Yeah, so he's worked on a couple of other shonen, but said that he was like heavily influenced by Naruto, like you were saying, and a couple of other and Marvel comics. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fascinating whenever he was like brainstorming these characters. Yeah.
Yeah, I love these powers because they're just so unique in some way. Yeah, so there's also Tokoyami, who is the dark shadow guy who has like this bird being, dark bird.
You know, ever since The Crow, I've been a big fan of bird being combinations. You need that bird. You can't kill me. You got to kill the bird.
Right.
I think I brought up in our MCU episode at Iron Man 2 with Mickey Rourke had a parrot because, you know, they normally have the bad guys have, not saying that he's a bad guy, but the bad guys normally have like a cat or whatever. I like that they switch it up sometimes and have a bird.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to do. You know what? Jafar had Iago. So there you go.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm saying, you know, Claw really started the cat game.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in there.
Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw.
No, but before that, it was Goldmember.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I think so.
I don't know. I was definitely not alive then. But
I think you're thinking of Goldfinger. I think Goldmember is the Austin.
You know what? As I said Goldmember, I was like, that's the original, right? Is it Gold? Because Goldfinger sounded even more suggestive.
Well, Goldmember is your member.
I know it's your member, but at least member could be something else, like a part of a club where finger is very suggestive.
Is he like,
where are you putting it?
He's like Littlefinger's cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, I've taken us off course, steering us back on.
There is, let's see, who else? There's Kyoka Jiro, who she has like earphone jacks kind of hanging off of her earlobes, which is super cool. I think she can unleash sound waves as well as like hear vibrations.
Mm-hmm. And they have like a rival team that they go against, right? Like a rival school.
Right. Are you talking about Class B or are you talking about like the other school? Like the completely different from UA?
They're like the villains.
Yes. So they're not.
Or am I giving anything away?
I don't think you're giving anything away.
Because it happens later in later seasons.
It happens a little bit later, but I mean, like at some point, you know, like who, like you expect for there to be a villain.
Yeah.
It's called the League of Villains. They're not a school.
Yeah,
but,
the League of Villains.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all we can say. I guess that's all we can technically say about that. There is like the main villain that shows up. I don't know if it's a spoiler necessarily saying who he is, but like he's just super creepy and like a great villain.
Yeah.
Very Kylo Ren.
Yeah. So can you talk about some of the obstacles that these characters face? This like our team of school classmates.
Yeah. So I think I would say that the general conflict in the school, on top of, you know, just getting through school and like, you know, the exams the exams in the school are usually very difficult. You know, like you have to battle teachers. You have to like run tests with them. You have to pit yourself against each other. But there's also, you know, in the meantime, the very real threat of the League of Villains. And the League of Villains are basically a bunch of people, you know, anarchists who are unhappy with the way that the hero industry is right now. And it's not revealed until later who's pulling the strings, but this person has a connection with All Might. And I think what I'm understanding is that people are seeing that All Might is weakening. And so, and because All Might is teaching at UA, they're now like targeting the high school students to get to him. And they're targeting him, you know, like during their training sessions sometimes. Like, so it's very aggressive, and like in response, the school is like accelerating their studies and like, you know, making all of their tests harder to prepare them for attacks and stuff.
Yeah.
What is an episode you'd want people to get started in? Because we are like, what, three seasons in?
Yeah, three seasons. So honestly, yeah, we're three seasons in. So honestly, people could catch up. Whereas other anime, I'm like, no, you're gone. I'm sorry.
Especially if we're talking back DBZ.
Yeah, like some of those, Naruto, like, I'm like, now you're good. Go watch One Punch Man.
You can definitely catch up, especially since I know a lot of y'all, seen y'all on the timeline. If y'all were able to burn through all of Game of Thrones, so many people was like, I rewatched the whole thing. All right, yeah, you got time to watch My Hero. You got time to watch My Hero, and you should definitely check it out. I think it's great. I think, you know, I kind of nailed, at least for me, said why I love the series and why I love series like it. It's just I love a series where someone achieves their goals through just hard work and determination and just someone really standing up for what they believe in. I feel like it's such a strong message, especially in times like now.
Totally. And, you know, like I said initially, you just feel a lot more happy for the characters when they do win something, when they gain something, because you're like, okay, I've seen like how hard you've struggled actually to do something, as opposed, like I said before, the whole thing of like, oh, wow, you have so much potential. You mastered something in an hour that usually takes people years.
Yeah. So what is your pitch for everyone to watch this?
My pitch for everyone to watch this would be that it is a great action anime while understanding all of the previous action animes that have come before it. That it has a lot of heart to it, and that it also doesn't shy away from like the darker parts of what a hero is in a real world where heroes would just be around all the time.
I like that there's a character for everyone.
Yes.
Like, even if you're not necessarily latched onto Deku, like, I feel like there's other characters. I don't know why. I don't go for bad guys in real life, but I do in my anime, very notoriously.
All the time.
Like, Bakugo. So I feel like, I like to, like you were saying, that it's real world what would happen if you got superpowers, because not all of them act in a way that I would say superheroes should. Like, so they're not all pure of heart.
Right.
And so it shows, so even if you're not pure of heart, you're still awarded superpowers, you know, what do you do with that? And I like those implications because I like the characters that are pure of heart, but I feel like they're so much harder to relate to.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well then, Chris, where can people find you?
People can find me on all social media as One Winged Chris. And also, if you liked what I was saying about Boku no Hero, you can also check out my episode on Boku no Hero on my show, Chris Lam Recommends on Gamma Ray TV, where I recommend anime to newcomers. And I also have a live show weekly where I make my straight friends watch Drag Race with me.
Love it.
I'll do that for free.
I know.
Yeah, I love me some Drag Race. You know, I love seeing Shangela thrive after they've screwed her a million times.
Seriously.
Anyway.
Truthfully.
And you know me, it's your boy, If You Wadiwe, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram. You can definitely get some of that Nerdificent merch on tpublic.com/nerdificent. We got lots of different merch, constantly updating it. And you know, if D's on Twitch, come through. A lot of the nerd fam has been coming through and blessing me with them Twitch Prime subs. And as always, you got to re-up the sub every month. A few of y'all pulled up to the stream like, oh, I didn't know. Thanks for reminding me on the cast. So now I know I got to do it every time. But thank y'all so much. Truly appreciate you. And Danny.
I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez, MSDANIFERNANDEZ. I plug it every week, I guess. Watch my show, WZRD. We have new live from WZRD. We have new episodes that drop on Verve every Thursday.
It's a very good show.
Yeah, it's so funny. I love it. And it's really weird and bizarre. And
she looks great.
It is a very good show.
She shakes her butts in
a few
scenes.
Well, look at my friends love me. I really want a season 2.
Yeah, she was doing like a summon butt shake.
I really want a season 2 with my friends. And they let us have several of our friends on. So that I just want to keep giving jobs to my friends and playing with my friends.
Yeah, but even if you don't like me or Danny, you'd probably like Danny. If you don't like what I'm saying, I'm just saying there's some good spicy Danny content, you know, or you can come to my Instagram. I'll bring the spice every
That's
day.
Spicy too. It's spicy too.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, that's what I was saying. Oh, no, I forgot to plug one thing. If you are in the Phoenix area this weekend, I will be doing the Phoenix Improv Fest with my group, White Women. Definitely go to the White Women Instagram for details on that. And come see us make you laugh.
Go. And like we always say, stay nerdy.